Nicholas Ma, thank you so much for speaking with me about Won't You Be My Neighbor? You appeared on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood twice, and those were also the only two times that you ever performed publicly with your father, cellist Yo-Yo Ma. What were those experiences like?
I think the first time I went on the show, I was terribly intimidated by Fred, right? He has this, this person who in two dimensions on a 10-inch screen somehow managed to seep into your brain and help develop your conscience. To see someone like that, 6 feet tall and in 3D was unnerving. But at the same time, he's such a gentle soul, and his ability to bring you to a place where you can see yourself as his peer, even as a child, was just so extraordinary that I think within after a little while, after it got going, it felt like the most natural thing. And I was told by one of the producers that when I left, apparently I burst into tears because I felt like I was leaving my family. I think the second time I was on the show, it was quite the opposite. I think I was more intimidated about playing with my father, which didn't seem like such a big deal when I was 5 years old. But when I was 15, that seemed like a much scarier thing to do in front of the world. And I think Fred is probably the only person who could have convinced me that, in fact, that was not only something I wanted to do, but something that I would look back on with a lot of fondness as I got older. So I'm so glad, and I feel so privileged and lucky to have been able to spend that time with him.
So, Mr. Rogers, that's kind of what I have to call him. I can't call him Fred Rogers. He was vulnerable, he was honest, and he made his guests vulnerable and honest. Is that an example or kind of an antidote to so much cynicism that we have that the world needs today?
He was able to turn vulnerability into a strength. By being that vulnerable, he commanded his audiences to respond with the same, not just children, but even as he got older and was doing college commencements, there was a kind of strength in that vulnerability that I think in today's world we often lose sight of. We think to be vulnerable is to be weak, is to not stand up for oneself. But actually, vulnerability is arresting and powerful. So I think you're exactly right. I think it's a wonderful example for us to remember today.
So talk about the process of producing this film. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was on the air for over 30 years. So what were you thinking about as you curated scenes for the documentary?
Yeah, I think when Morgan first brought the idea to me, I was electrified. I was so thrilled to be able to bring to the screen someone whose voice I think had perhaps dissipated in some way. But I think both of us felt at the time, this was early 2016, that this was one of those projects that we could do on the side, that could take 3 years, 5 years to make. What took us by surprise in such a wonderful way was even from the very beginning, the response from people we talked to about the project was so enthusiastic. People recalled the clips that they loved the most, moments that were incredibly powerful for them. And in recalling that, started propelling the project forward at almost a breakneck speed, the exact opposite of what we had anticipated. And I think that gave us both the confidence that this was a story that would resonate in this moment in time, but also actually ended up being, it was like having, thousands of sleuths who were coming back with extraordinary material about Mr. Rogers. Even up until the moments we were bringing this film into the world, we would hear new stories that touched us. One of the writers on The Tonight Show came up after Joanne Rogers, Fred's widow, was on and said, "My parents didn't know how to talk to me about their getting divorced when I was a kid, when I was basically a toddler. And so they sat me in front of the five Mr. Rogers episodes about divorce, and that's how I came to terms with what was happening to my family." And it's just, these stories, they just hit you in the heart, and you think, gosh, that he could have had to have worked such magic for children and for families at such a distance is really such a special gift. And I think it's that sort of powered us through as we sort of scrambled to bring it into the world.
You just touched on this, but about the impact that this film has had. Won't You Be My Neighbor has just received an outpouring of love from audiences, and then just really gushing reviews from critics even. So what does it mean to you to be able to kind of bring Mr. Rogers' ethos of kindness and honesty and acceptance back into the spotlight?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think what I feel incredibly grateful about, even if I wasn't sure this was going to be true when we were setting out to make the movie, was that this film resonates across many different populations. People from urban backgrounds, from rural backgrounds, people of all races, sexualities, people of all political affiliations. And that was so important to us. And I think it's this reminder that there are voices in this country that can be both unifying and strong. And I think at this moment in time, to believe that and to see evidence of that and to see those voices sort of ricochet around the internet that are voices of strength but of kindness is such a joy. And I think at least that's certainly part of my reaction every time I see the film. I think to myself, gosh, I can do this. Someone said to me, you know, I think we're living in a moment where we shout our anger and we whisper our kindness. And this film reminds us to do the opposite. And I thought, well, first of all, I thought, I wish I had thought of it. But second of all, I thought, you know, that's really right. How can we shout our kindnesses in ways that we perhaps don't always hold ourselves to that principle?
Nicholas, thank you so much for your time today and for making this film.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to bring it to Aspen, and I'm so glad to speak with you today as well.